Today, crikey, we're deep diving in the bush looking for a spot to activate. Yep, we're going to talk about challenges of activating wildlife preserves and trail systems in POTA next on Live Free and Ham. Hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are excited to have you here and appreciate your support. And thanks again for tuning in tonight's episode. So let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm always with my wonderful co-host.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OG.
And I'm Todd, W1STJ.
And we are ramped up tonight. All right, so before we get into the topic, as always, we like to get you caught up on a few things. Again, we're going to be putting more merch in our storefront soon, so make sure you head over to livefreeandham.com/shop. And if you are a Patreon member or you want to become one, there are a bunch of discounts in there on all of our merch, so you can always go over to the Patreon and subscribe and get different promotionals and a bunch of different things we offer for all of our Patreon members to help support the channel, as always. And or if you have purchased something in the past from our show, I'd like to thank, obviously, Izzo. He just recently bought a Live Free and Ham Classic hat from us and has been sporting it on the latest Clubhouse. So, again, we thank him for picking up our merch here. And always love to see people out there. And as always, I have said it, and Mike, N2MAK, has been on the ball. We've caught him a few times with him with our merch on, and I've sent him a bunch of stickers. So if you're caught with merch or we see you on the internet with merch in some form or fashion, make sure you tag us at livefreeandham.com and we'll make sure we send you the original OG stickers and N1JUR and Live Free and Ham. And once Todd finally gets off his butt and gets his own stickers going, you'll get a copy of his. It'll be a limited supply on that one. So, all right. Well, as always, like I said, thanks again for supporting the show. We'd love to hear feedback. So if you want to give us feedback, you can always head over to the Apple Podcasts and click a review there. But we know that not everybody's an Apple Podcast listener. So if you've got an SMS phone, which we all do these days, everyone's got a smartphone. So head over to our description or notes. There's a nice simple link there. You just click that on your cell phone and boom, you're able to provide us a review instantaneously. And no matter how good or bad, and all the bad ones, just make sure they go to Paul because he's wanting to read them so badly. I will lovely repeat them and share them on our next show. So come on, what's the delay? Tell us how much you love us. Tell us how you hate us. I don't care either way. We'll make sure we'll get you on the show. And we appreciate all the feedback as always. So with that, we will be rolling into probably the month of August at this point with this show. So we'll be airing our live stream soon. We have no idea what that's going to be. So, you know, be surprised like us and tune into our YouTube channel and check us out. And we'll, you know, we'll surprise you just as much as we're getting surprised ourselves. And you'll, you know, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you're always up to date on all of that. And so with, as always, our regular segment.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Good.
Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
All right. So this week, we are going to share something, again, from our own club here that we love to be a part of, the Grand State Amateur Radio Association. They have been doing some awesome stuff. And so if you're in the New England area and you're looking for a club to join in, these guys and gals are a great bunch of people. We are getting teamed up with the 4-H Fair organization, and we're going to be starting doing some really cool stuff with them. They are getting out there. We're teaching people about ham radio. We're sharing everything we can about POTA and ham radio and HF and, you know, VHF and anything that people want to hear. And so we're going to be probably at a 4-H event in September, and they're going to be there as a club showing people all about ham radio and doing some seminars. So if your club is sort of like that and you do those things out in your community, we want to hear about them. We want, you know, you to share that with us. And you can do that a simple way just by sending us an email at livefreeandham@gmail.com and show us how your club's doing good. As simple as that. You know, whatever the event's going on, we want to share it. We want you guys to be a part of it. We want to spread the word, spread the love, and let everybody know that you know, there are good clubs out there doing some great stuff. So, and if you're one of those bad clubs, then again, send all your email to Paul. He'll gladly recycle that in the appropriate manner. All right. Well, with that, as always, let's get into we're going to be skipping, I should say. We won't be getting into our regular segment. Todd is taking a little hiatus to get geared up on his you know, question pool
Boo.
There.
So,
yes, we won't be able to see him in a dress like Vanna. So, yeah, Todd, what do you have to say for yourself? Do we have to take you to Ham Court?
Maybe the next one I'll be ready to go. Maybe.
Okay.
I'll work on it. I'll work on
September.
It'll be sooner than that.
I hope so.
The next podcast will be ready to go. I'll start studying. You guys should like send me reminders. Have you studied your extra yet?
You heard. So you can email him at w1stj.nh@gmail.com and send him many reminders over and over again. Yeah. Feel free.
Motivate me to do it.
Yeah.
I have ADHD. You know, I say, oh, yeah, I have it on my to-do list. I honestly have it on my to-do list, but it's always like the next morning. It was like study for your extra. And it was like yesterday, the day before. So I got to keep
motivation by spam. That works great.
Yeah. Yes.
we'll flood Gmail like I've never seen before. All right. Well, so with that, we are going to dive into our usual. This is our segment we call What's Your Ham Radio Week? And so, Paul, in usual fashion, what's your Ham Radio Week been?
Well, so Ham Radio Week has been relatively quiet. Although I will say I watched one of Steve, KM9G, with the hat, right? KM9G.
Yep.
he had this really cool multimeter, and I really, really liked it, and so I ordered it. And let me tell you that working on the boat, this thing is amazing. Right?
Dude, I did see that. How you bought it? Okay.
It is amazing. It is so small and compact. It fits right in your pocket. And it's accurate. It automatically detects the difference between a millivolt and a full volt, and it'll automatically adjust everything for you. Like, super happy with that purchase. So thanks, Steve.
Nice. Cool. Well, that's always good when that happens. I know I saw that and I started to watch it, and then I got sidetracked and I was like, I got to get back to that. So pretty good multimeter, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100% for a pocket device that you're going to carry around with you. It's perfect.
So do me a favor, leave that in the notes, and I'm definitely going to have to pick that up, because just in usual podcast fashion, we're going to follow suit with the Ham Radio Workbench and make sure that you spend my money and Todd's money if we can eventually figure out how he can incorporate that into his deck building skills. So cool. All right. Well, that sounds like great. Yeah, I'm definitely always game for a multimeter. I know I always need one out in the field and never have one with me. So good on that one. All right, Todd. So how has your Ham Radio Week been?
Pretty non-productive. Just working on my deck. Should have it done by hopefully the end of the week, maybe Wednesday.
Okay.
But I'll say Friday. got some baseball coming up. So we got a game Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. We're in a tournournament.
What's the deal with the antennas though? You know, have you made any trenching at all? Any of that stuff at all? Nothing?
When the deck gets done, I'll have to start. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it here.
I had it all cleared out and it was looking good. And then I don't know what happened. Spring came and it just overgrown again. So I got to go take it to the weed whacker. But I can tell you one thing that happened while I was on vacation that I wanted to, I didn't bring up in the last podcast, is my Buddy Pole Pro. I've been using it and I swear by it. It is awesome antenna. Like, if you're looking for a POTA antenna, you should go check that one out. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know you don't like it. I love it, but I tuned the antenna. I set it up based on what I know about my antenna and what it does and how it gets finicky, and set it all up. I set the raised aerial, got it the right height, the right length. It's not right on the pin. It's a little bit out. Put the whip just down a maybe half an inch. I go back to the car. I set up the SWR meter, 1.3 first shot. Very nice. I was like, now that is awesome. Mm-hmm. So I good know deal. That I know my antenna. I know how, and I've been getting really good at not even needing that meter. I mean, I check it with the meter, but I've been pretty, and that's the best I've gotten it without fudging it. So that was kind of cool.
Wasn't the time that you actually were on the 10 meter band that we were activating that park down in, I can't remember where it was, or it was in where, right? That you got it down to like 1.1, I thought, on the 10 meter band.
Yeah. But that was after I was going back and forth. I'm talking, this is like without even checking
time.
It.
First time.
Okay. You know, so I'm trying to get it down the best I can get it. So I got it down to one. That's my record. Yeah.
Well, you know what the saying is, a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while, right?
But the perfect POTA antenna doesn't need to be tuned at all.
Oh, that's a stab in the back. That's a man that's going to be scorned next time he goes out and plays POTA, because any of his antennas are not going to tune no matter what for him. They're going to be like, I'll show you better. Resonance my ass.
When we go to that park in Milford, I'll bring my antenna just in case yours don't want to work right. Because I know mine will work right. And listen, that antenna, as much as people don't like it or like it, but that antenna saved Eric and I from
getting a
park. Because when he bought the hex beam...
Yeah,
the wires weren't cut right, and it didn't work. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? We just spent an hour and a half putting this sucker up. We're getting this park and tried it out, and it worked.
Now, sadly, in the long shot of that whole ordeal, we could have still used the antenna without the 20 meter element, but then we would only been on 10, 15, and 17. But yeah, whatever. Right. The behind us now. Yeah. All good.
It's a nice, compact, good antenna.
It's nice and compact. It sits under here in my desk all the time. I haven't taken it out yet. That was when I bought it from Paul. So, you know, just like Paul has had it, he used it for once, tucked it away, sold it to me, and then I put it underneath my desk, and I haven't used it ever since. No, I used it once when I went to Maine.
All right, if anyone's watching this has that antenna, the Buddy Pole Pro, leave us a comment. Help me out here. Let them know that it's a really good antenna, and it's great for POTA.
Dude, N2MAK solved your problem. He fixed his friend's Buddy Pole Pro, and he worked 7200 on it. So, you know, there's proof in the pudding. So there's a video already in there. You know, it's already got the proof. You know, so, you know, you're in the clear.
That was a great video.
I'll give you that. Your antenna is great. Yeah, yep. It was. It was totally awesome.
And I've brought that antenna everywhere. It's been in Arkansas. Where is that? Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Virginia, all these places I have to go. Florida a bunch of times.
Been to Wally World.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike did an awesome video. If you aren't a subscriber of Mike, N2MAK's channel, head over there. Check that Buddy Pole video out. I was thoroughly impressed. And, you know, I can't say anything bad. I mean, he was wearing Live Free and Ham. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, you know, he just knows the right stuff to wear. It's as simple as that. So. Well, we can thank him for that.
I did like his elevated radial holder.
Dude, that was smart. Yeah. I love that. That was like the little, like, what we use for driveway markers in the winter time.
Yeah, no, that was slick.
Totally. So, I would say that. Good God, Todd.
Well, I've used, you know, the first thing I used for mine was a tent stake, right? But you can't travel with that. So then I was using, really?
You might get pat down.
Really, I don't think I could bring in a metal spike onto the plane. So then I got creative and I was using my luggage, and I would hook with a carabiner. I would take the handle of the luggage, move it up and down, and carabiner the thing on. And I was like, well, I don't always bring luggage. Like sometimes if I'm doing just like an overnighter, I just bring my POTA bag and throw a change of clothes in it. So then I found out that I have a tripod that extends.
Oh, yeah.
It's nicely in my bag. It's like a selfie stick that turns into a tripod. And I use that, and it's been the best. Nice. So it fits in my backpack. It's all done. I was like, how am I? You know, I had to come up with something. And then I did. And then one day I was doing the camera thing. I'm like, hey, I got this tripod here. Why don't I just use this? And it worked. So that's what I use. It fits right in the side of my bag. It's compact, goes up, adjusts.
Now, perfect. If anybody from Buddy Pole is watching, right, just off chance, right, if they could figure out how to take something that is the same diameter as the driveway marker and shock cord it so that it could be folded up into the bag, then you've got the perfect kit, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing it doesn't come with is how to put the to raise there. And I'm telling you, the little, it's a, what was it like? What is that thing? It's like $20 on Amazon. Yeah, it's nothing. And it's well worth it. And it's been great because I've just, once I started using that, that's all I use. I don't even use the spike anymore. I don't even know where mine is.
Since we're already on gratuitous, promotional, review items, if Buddy Paul is ever going to finish that Bluetooth, little rotator device that plugs on this, we're more than happy to test it as a club and or myself. I am all for the fact that, I can control my phone from a little Bluetooth device that rotates our Buddy Hex. Because I am lazy as, I won't use the explicit of there, but I don't want to have to walk 10 feet in the other direction to be able to rotate my antenna to go west to east and north to south. You know, come on. I'm more than willing. We'll QA to death. We'll break it on purpose and tell you how to fix it. So, send it one this
I'm
way.
I'm very good at breaking things.
So we all are. Yeah, for sure. 100%. All right. Well, so with my ham radio week, I've got some interesting stuff going on. The first one, I am revamping my Beach POTA kit. If you've seen the video on my channel, I started my version 1.0. I modified it a bit because I'm trying to adapt more of a vertical because of what I've determined, at least in a beach scenario, if I'm going to take this with me and set up in a beach on a beach, I need something more that's kind of compact, vertical, and less wire because it takes a little bit of space to get a good antenna up there, and putting a 10-meter mast in and hoping you don't kill anybody around you is probably a challenge I don't want to take on. So I've ordered a res antenna, ground spike, a couple other antenna bits and bobs there. So I'm going to go to vertical and try to incorporate my coil from Mad Dog. I'm going to bring the 40 with me and, kind of compact that down into my bag. So I'll have a little bit more of an update on that, hopefully in the channel after I get back from vacation, end of July, maybe early August on that. So that'll be fun. But then at the same time, I finally got confirmation. Actually, I got a couple of things. I finally got confirmation. So Res Antenna will be sending us their 80. So I'll be getting one soon. So that means, us three, we're going to have to find a time to get together, do a little whisper testing of the back-to-back-to-back of the Wolf River Coil 80 or the Silver Bullet 80, the Mad Dog 80, and the Res 80. And we're all, get together. We're all going to do whisper tests real time and see which antenna actually fares pretty well in a, head-to-head test. So that's coming up soon. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be fun to hang out with these guys. Do those tests. So keep an eye on my channel and we'll definitely, talk about it, I'm sure, in a future episode of our podcast.
Do we have to give the res antenna back?
Yeah.
If we don't, I call dibs.
Well, so here's it. We'll still talk off the air. I don't want to mention it, but we'll see what we can do about, maybe making that.
You got to buy it.
Right. That may be it. But, now that you have one, you don't have to pay shipping. So, simple as that. So that, and then I have been working on a secret squirrel project with one of my club members, KC1NID. Those that are familiar, obviously, with the Wolf River Coil and K9 VBR's Magic Carpet, I'm doing a little bit of a different version with that. We kind of brainstormed and came up with a real cool idea of how to, enhance the Magic Carpet a bit. So we're coming up with a couple of designs. And hopefully once we finish some of the, secret, testing that we're doing with it, we'll have one to kind of maybe show and I'll put on the channel and we'll definitely show here and see how it goes, but it's looking pretty cool. So I'm a little excited. I don't want to let too much out of the bag. I'll let these guys know off air, but, I can trust them that, nothing will, escape out into the ether. Keep an eye out for that. And so I'm looking forward to, playing around, with that new little project and having some fun there, but I haven't done much on the HF front. I think we had mentioned last episode was, the 4th of July, 13 colonies. I think I did two or three, didn't really do much in there. And I was kind of the bands were tough, but I just didn't really like have the drive or the motivation to want to hunt them down. And I was like, I'll make a few here and there. And I know we had a couple of good friends of ours be K2K or folks that are part of the colonies there. So we'd love to probably get Tim on and, you know, maybe one day have him discuss his feelings and how he did it, because he was pretty psyched about it when I talked to him last. And he was literally, we were at a club meeting last Saturday. And he was like, hey, does anybody need K2K? Because I can whip up my 2 meter and we could do Simplex and I'll give you a contact there. I'm like, yeah, if I was really that motivated, I would say, sure, go ahead. Let's make that happen. So, yeah, thanks for Tim for, being that gracious in that sense. So all good. So, all right, cool. Well, as we always do, this week we are talking again about our favorite topic, POTA. We always love to, get better as we always get a chance to get out and activate. But at the same time, we felt that, one of the things that we haven't seen a lot of people talk about or discuss is some of those parks that, don't kind of quite fit the typical state park type mold. So we're talking about wildlife areas. We're talking about trail systems. And then we're talking, a little bit maybe about flora and fauna. And maybe if you've done any of that, I know I've done very little of that. And I'm really kind of myself, and I'm sure these guys share the same sentiment, is that we're all POTA guys. And, flora and fauna is a great program. But it's not as simple and not as easy. When you get into POTA, you just get in. It's, once they suck you in, it's like kind of, you're in it for life. You're not going anywhere else and you're just going to keep plugging away at it. So it
becomes an obsession.
It's an addiction and an obsession.
Yeah. Well, it's like if I don't do if I have like a while and I haven't done a park, I start getting like the shakes. I'm like, I got to go to a park. Hope I can still do this.
Well, and then I do it like park to Paul, right? You guys still have to go do.
I know. Well, next week, when the deck's done.
Unless the deck's
too hot, it's gonna be too hot this week anyway. It's like I was gonna do a park the other day and it was like 95. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. It's too hot.
It could be zero below. Which would you prefer?
At zero below, I could be in there. It was just too hot. It was like 2 p.m. and like 94 degrees. I'm like, I was like, maybe I should do this. I'm going to be miserable. And I looked at my stupid app and 20 meters was still poor, which means it was going to be crappy. And I was going to be like, and with my luck, it'd be one of those parks where I'd have to sit there for 3 hours to get 10 contacts.
Never trust the propagation app. Never trust the propagation app.
I know. It's never. Well, all I know is mine has said 20 meters has been poor nonstop since that first solar storm we had, that big one.
The G5.
Yep.
Been poor ever since. Yeah, it's been poor ever since. It's not even gone up to okay. It's just been.
May I remind you, last summer was like this too until like end of August. And then all of a sudden the band just like exploded. And remember in August we were on 10 meters and you were like, 10 meters on fire. What the hell's going on? So it's going to happen. Well, right. Again.
But last summer I was talking to Australia on 20. And now it just tells me I can't even hit like Pennsylvania on 20.
Maybe your antenna is too high.
Yeah. It's got to be the antenna.
Yeah, it's always the antenna, right? It's,
yeah.
Never anything else. All right. Well, so let's talk a little about wildlife and wildlife preserve areas and trail systems. We obviously all touched upon them a little bit here and there, and we all know that they're kind of the bane of all of our existences because they're always the most difficult ones to get to. They're not the easy layups, the parks that you can just pull up your car, literally work off your tailgate and boom, you're in the park and you got 10 contacts and you're done with your day and you move on. Or, or the nice ones where you didn't drive into and, you set up and you're in the wildlife and you're seeing Bambi walk behind you and, the whole nine yards and you're feeling in one with nature and you're making bazillions of contacts, it's like that. So have you guys done any of those types of trail systems at all?
Well, when I was in North Carolina, I did Stones Creek State Game Land, which it wasn't a park. It was a trailed wildlife preserve. I guess is how I would call it. It's US 6953. And This one was a little different than some of them I've been on. This one actually had a little parking lot, and then it had like the trailhead, and then you could go walk by. And I drove around it, and there's different entrances that you can hop in, different sides of the thing. But it wasn't really a park. All it was some trails, and it's a lot of wildlife. They had a turtle rescue, I think, is near there. I don't know if the turtle rescue was part of that, but a lot of people hiking, running, you know, through it. But big, huge chunk of area that was just net nature, nothing built on it. And yeah, it was kind of cool. But for me, it was like an easy one because there was a parking spot. Now, I've had some where you put in the coordinates and you're on the side of the road and you're like, where the hell is it? It's exactly. Like woods.
Nowhere.
Like you gotta, there's not even a trail. You're like, what, that's it? Like I gotta get in there.
Yep.
So those are different. I mean, traveling when I'm, you know, especially, you know, by air and I don't have all my stuff and I don't know where I'm at or whatever. I like to stick to the, you know, the designated parks, but there are a ton of wildlife refuge or state forest, or, you know, we have in New Hampshire a lot of state forests, which is literally you're driving down the road and we have a lot of woods, you know, forest everywhere. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're at a park or you're at a POTA. You can activate this place, but there's nothing there. It's just woods. It's like trees. So
yeah,
you got to be creative.
Yeah, that's the Reed's Ferry Forest for me.
Right. Right. There's not even an entrance into that place.
No, it's literally like a sliver, no wider than 6 inches, I'd have to say, literally to where the park entrance is, you know, or where the designation of how you can get actually access to it. And everybody I talk to, it's like, oh, I go activate over. I'm like, you can't activate over there. That's private land. You just literally can't pull over there and call that like I'm activating. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's beyond the rules. I'll let some of it slide, but you have to activate on this small little sliver next to a transformer on the pole that's freaking noisy as hell. And you know, you have neighbors walking by, you know, looking at you like you have six heads, you know, activating, you know, aliens, you know. So, yeah, I totally get it. So, all right. How about you, Paul? Any of your, you know, similar
scenarios? Well, so 100 feet is 100 feet, right? That's the rules. You have to be within 100 feet of the bounce. But my wife actually said that I had to tell this story about the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge.
This is a trip, right?
So this past April, we went down to Florida and I like to drive and I hate flying. I like to drive. But I specifically had asked my wife to give me a little bit of time to activate a couple new states. And so on the trip down, I got to do, Chincoteague Island in Virginia, which is also a wildlife preserve. And the reason that I bring it up is because wildlife preserves have different rules than state parks. Right. And so with a wildlife preserve, the focus is on preservation of the wildlife, which includes, but it includes the trees and everything else. So they don't want to see antennas in trees. They don't want to see ground spikes in the ground. They don't want to see any disturbance of the area. So I packed my Wolf River Coil for that specific purpose because I knew it was a freestanding antenna and I could just throw my ground radials out and there was no interference with the nature at all. But so as I was packing up at the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge, this female wildlife ranger came and she stopped and she was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I'm packing up, but you know, I just successfully made a bunch of contacts with people all over, you know, this parks on the air is kind of what we do." And I explained it a little bit and she was like, "Oh, that's super cool." Mm-hmm. She's like, "I'm so glad to see that you knew ahead of time not to put anything in the trees and not to put anything in the ground." And so it was nice to like get props from, you know, like a lady that was, you know, doing her job. And she was like, "Yeah, no, you are doing the right thing. You were you're an ambassador of the hobby in a way, right? Like, so yeah, so just understand that when you're planning these trips and you're planning the parks you're going to activate, that just because it's a park reference doesn't mean that it's the same as any other park reference, right? Because
and the rules.
Yeah. Well, like, right? I mean, so I could go to Russell Abbott State Forest, which is one of, that's my favorite. I'm working my kilo. I can put stuff in trees. I can put stuff in the ground. It doesn't matter because it's just a state forest. There's no rules like that. But yeah, no, if you're planning, and it says, nature preserve or wildlife preserve or any type of reservation, like, you better plan to have an antenna system that is not going to interfere with nature in any way. And a side note, right? Leave the place cleaner than when you got there. Right? Like,
oh, totally.
It drives me nuts. Like, when I go fishing and I see a spool of fishing line on the ground, like, no, like, I pick it up and I throw it in my truck. Like, always just leave the place cleaner than you got there.
Yeah, totally.
So I was at a park in Florida, and I pull in, and you gotta pay. And the guy's like, what are you planning on doing? And I said, well, I'm just going to activate a park. And he gave me like the same rules. He goes, you can't throw anything up in trees. You can't, you know, it's like all these rules, but I had, you know, my antenna. When you guys don't like, and
I don't love it.
I don't like it.
Give you crap for it.
All right. So anyway, I said, oh, I got vertical. He goes, that's great. He goes, you know, we had guys coming in here and throwing up lines and trees, and you know, we don't allow that. I said, no, it's all freestanding. And he goes, well, good. He goes, how do you power it? I said, oh, I have a battery. He goes, well, we have electricity under there in that shelter. Like, that's good. I got a battery. But yeah, the guy was like, hey, I got electric, like, here we are at the state park. Don't destroy anything, don't put anything up the tree. But if you want electricity, which you had to dug some lines, you know, you had to dig up and put the wires in somewhere. But no, it was kind of cool. But like I said, if I only had like a wired antenna, I wouldn't have been able to activate that park. Only because I would have had no place to put it up.
So yeah, so
I just wanted to comment on what Todd said there real quick. So yes, there's a lot of parks you have to pay for. However, if you are a military veteran, if you're a member of a Gold Star family, a Blue Star family, and there's, I believe the there's another pass for seniors as well, is you can get a National Parks Pass, which is good for a lifetime. And it's I think an $11 administrative fee to get the pass, and you never have to pay for any state or federal park ever again. So for all the, all the people that qualify for that, look into that, because it's a game changer. I never have to pay for a park ever again. I just throw the little tag in my rear view mirror, and I drive up to the gate, and the guy looks and he goes, have a nice day.
Wow.
I know that you can buy a federal parks pass. No, you can buy a federal park. Like, it's like $90 a year, and you go to every federal park. Like, you can go to Yosemite. You can go to like all the, I wonder if that works for the state parks too, or is it just a,
yes.
Oh, it does. It works for every park. So if you pay that $90, you get the everything.
State parks are included in that.
But that's for you, for the vets. But what about a non-vet? Oh,
good point. Yeah, you might have to look into that.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to look into it, because I do know that, like, if you're going to go out west and you're going to go hit like Mount Rushmore, Yosemite, Yellowstone, you get like you pay like $90 and you get a pass to go to all them, and you don't have to pay for each park you go to. It's like a better deal, I guess. Right. But if it works on all state parks, that would be... that'd be a game changer for me. Try to go to Massachusetts in the summer. Like, you can't, it's going to cost you a small fortune to activate a park.
If you want to go activate Hampton, it's like $40 to park there, nevertheless. So it's like, Oh, yeah. Right. Don't get me going on that one. That was expensive for us when we tried to do the 7 Park Grove, although we didn't really pay for any of those parks because we were out of season. So that worked out good to our benefit.
Well, right. Well, there was no one there. Yeah. Like, it's not like we tried to scam out of it. It was free to go because, like, who's going to a beach in November? We do.
That's exactly right. In the October, right? Exactly.
Yeah. It was October, November. It was crazy, too. It was so, remember how hot it was? People were swimming.
Yep, they were.
New Hampshire Ocean.
Yeah, so to kind of wildlife places, there's one place that I've done that I thought was very odd. And so if you've ever been in Mass and you've activated U.S., this is actually a new one inside of Freetown Fall River State Forest. So if you've been down in Fall River, there's a big giant forest there. And so within that, this also has a trail system, and the trail system is not linked per se, so you can't get a twofer out of it. I don't know why, but I have never been able to figure that out. But the trail system, if you look at the maps, they all kind of bisect each other and run right through the forest. There's a new park in there called the Wildlife Management. So I tried to activate it. And the nice part about it is if you use the coordinates or you GPS it based off of, instead of the street address or whatever you find on the maps, there's a trail logging system that you can follow this all the way out. And I guess there's a huge landmass out there that a guy owns, a private that does a lot of like cranberry bogs and, you know, farming and stuff like that. So I went out there to activate that. And I thought I was going to get a twofer on that, but based off of where I was, because I started to activate, I was recording it, and that's another story I'll talk about later, but I was recording it and a guy was busy mowing the lawn down in the fields. Like, I mean, he was like 8 miles away and I was sitting on the top of the hill in my truck. So I got out of the back of my truck and set up off the back of my tailgate, put my Wolfram coil up or my Mad Dog coil up, and I was, you know, activating, you know, no problem. And he kind of came, pulled up in the truck, and, you know, he kind of stopped, and, you know, he kind of looked at me, got out of his truck and kind of waddled on over. And it was an older gentleman, and he's just like, what are you doing? And I'm like, doing ham radio. He's like, is that like CB? And I'm like, yeah, it's sort of like CB, but not really. I'm like, it's, you know, I'm activating park. He's like, oh, that's real cool. You know, I thought first you were my foreman and you were watching me from the ridge line there to make sure I was mowing the grass the right level and everything. And I'm like, dude, I don't care how long that grass is. I'm like, you want to come over and play radio? And he's like, oh, well, I got to get going, but, you know, thanks for the offer anyway. And, you know, long story short, but, you know, that park was kind of like, exactly right. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not sitting in my truck watching it. Trust me, I have better things to do. So, yeah, all of that, you know, that wildlife management was like, it's weird because if you look at the maps on POTA, it's very much boxed in to the overall state forest. So it's like this small little chunk of land someone donated that's now the wildlife refuge, and it's a mixed use land. And so if you're not sure where it is or how to activate it, it's a little bit of a challenge trying to get to it. But it kind of thought of me when we started talking about like this topic of like, you know, those places I usually steer clear of. It's like, because I'm thinking, okay, wildlife management, they're not going to be easy accessible. They're not going to be off the, you know, they're always going to be off the beaten path to get to them. You might get lucky sometimes where there might be some logging roads or access roads to it. But 9 times out of 10, I don't know about you, but I steer, like, if, knowing in this example, Freetown's forest was literally surrounded by it. I could have gone anywhere around it, found a side road to pull on, and I would have been in the state forest, you know, to activate that park, and, you know, none the better, went totally fine. But, you know, I, you know, like you, Paul, I was more about, you know, hey, I'm going to try this as a different park. It was a 5-digit, you know, park number. So I needed to activate it because it's a new park. And, you know, it was a little challenge to get to it. I mean, I was very unsure for a long time as I was following the GPS coordinates to get to this location of where I was. And until the guy really confirmed where I, you know, was, that it was the right area, because I was like, this can't be a beautiful spot, because I was literally on top of a hilltop looking over, you know, into the valley, and I could see everything, and, you know, everything was all wide open spaces. I'm like, this is a great view. And I mean, you know, sadly the video I recorded, I didn't have any audio, so it's literally garbage. So all I have is just, you know, video of the scenery and me talking, and, you know,
I just play some music.
So you won't ever get to see. I know you're, I'm really trying hard to make that POTA one work, but you know, it's going to be a difficult one. But yeah, it was the Copacabana Wildlife Management Area. So if you're ever in Mass and you try to activate that, I mean, it is a challenge to get to. But it's not difficult in the sense of, you know, it is a mainstream. And if you're off, you get the benefit of being in a different park. You just have to know that you're in the forest and not in the specific wildlife area, which is, have you guys run into that same problem where like they tend to cross over? Because I've seen a lot of like that in Mass where like the wildlife and the state forest are all the same.
Well, yeah, but so hold on before you move on to that question, right? Were you able to find a spot based on like the satellite imaging where you could be 100 feet off the trail and then close enough to both parks that you could do the threefer and have it count?
Well, not a threefer, because I had the trail system. I had no idea where the trail system bisected the park. I knew it did, but I couldn't confirm, and I didn't want to waste the time to do it because it was like late in the day, and I was like, ah, I can follow with this later because, you know, I was at a client visit. Yeah, I was. I was at a client visit, dude, and so you've been to that client with me. You know what I'm talking about. So I went all the way down there, and I was like, I just want to get it activated and get home because I know the traffic's going to be bonkers. So, yeah, I probably could have gotten a twofer on it, and I bet you if I just, you know, renamed my logs to the Freetown, you know, park number, it would have been no different because I was literally in the state park on top of this management area. So, you know, for what it's worth, it wasn't terribly difficult to find based off of at least the GPS coordinates that were left, which kind of like, it was sort of helpful because I don't know about you, you ever noticed that when you go into the details of a park on POTA, sometimes it's better to use the GPS coordinates than it is to use the actual like link that it goes to the website, because the website's about as useless all as the bag of rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. The GPS coordinates, I think whoever puts it in there, like that's where they actually activated. So I find that there's like someone's been to that GPS coordinate. So it's accessible somehow.
It's guaranteed. Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to say though is like, you know, you said like the wildlife management system are like just areas, right? But I noticed like down south, like North Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, those, and even Arkansas, those wildlife, they're almost like, they call them wildlife management, but they're like parks. Mm-hmm. So you know, they have, you know, sometimes they have an entrance. Sometimes they have a sign, you know, what it is. They might have a picnic table or something, or, you know, they might have a parking lot, like at the trailhead to go into it. Where I think around here, like our state forests are just like chunks of land that's been dead. You know, you're not going to build on it. It's a state forest, and there's not like an entrance to it. But I found that down south, the ones that I had been to or looked at were more like a park. So I don't know if you're outside New England or the New Hampshire, Mass area that it's a wildlife management project or system is not like a park that we see as a typical park. So it could be different in different parts of the country. So if you're listening, you know, send us a comment. Let's find out if you're not from New England, you know, what your wildlife.
We sort of know that. I mean, obviously, and maybe you guys, have you guys activated Maine at all or Vermont? I know you've done Vermont, Todd, right? Yeah. So Vermont does have wildlife management areas, and they are not like their state parks. Like Vermont is very clear about like their state parks. They will say what their state parks are, and you know, they're very well labeled, even though they're a pain in the ass sometimes to get to find. But you know, once you find them, you know you're there because there's no doubt. But like when you get into Maine, wildlife management areas, especially like along the coast and stuff, and even when you go inland, inland's even more difficult. Like I did a video a long time ago called, what was the park in Maine? It was the video was titled on my channel Snakes and something else like that. In essence, it was literally you were driving down 1A in Barrington or something. Not Barrington, somewhere in
Berwick. Maine.
And I literally drove by. Yeah, Berwick. I literally drove right by the park. Like twice going both ways because there's no signage whatsoever. And when I realized that the little indentation on the side of the road, the old logs had been so rotted that they never replaced the sign because the sign was like kind of fallen on the ground. So it's like, that's a wild, and that's not like not any different. I've done the three wildlifes in Berwick and way further up that, you know, they're all the same. It's like you pull in, but you go in their state parks. It's like, boom, you know, you're at a state park. You have to pay your fee and you know, the whole nine yards. So it's very different to find a wildlife management area in every state. So I probably would suggest it's the same, you know, in most other states too, especially Texas. I'm sure it's probably even different.
Well, I know the area around Moosehead Lake in Maine, like, it's inaccessible by vehicle, like to go activate the park, right? Like the forest, if you will. I mean, you got an ATV in, so better make sure that you bring your ATV and it's registered in Maine. It's a ton of fun though.
Well, you know, dude, that's just accessorizing your ham shack, you know, simple as that.
Oh, there we go. Now I need HF ATV.
Yeah, dude. It's a new form of mobile. I'm doing it to my truck. You're doing it to every other vehicle. You got a submarine? Oh, is that next?
When I was in North Carolina, there was a park that was kind of near me, but it was a freaking island and there was nothing on the island. So it was like a wild park or a refuge, wildlife management island. There's no roads, there's no cars, and like two people activated it, and clearly they had boats. And I'm like, yeah, I can't swim there and keep my radio dry. I don't have a dry bag.
Well, is it?
So
is
like, it like and the, I didn't have access to a boat. So,
what's it like the one that we want to do off of our Seven Park Grove? What is it? That White Island. That's right. White Island's in the middle of it's a historic state park, or it's labeled as a historic state site. Well, and the only thing that's out there is just literally a science, you know, lab for, you know, studying whatever they do out there. But,
well, yeah, Paul's on a boat.
I know,
throw that buddy in there, buddy, and we just cruise over there.
Let's go.
We're doing a POTA now.
All right. Well,
right? Actually, we just go. All we have to do is anchor right offshore and work it right from the boat.
Okay. So we have to work our 10 Park Grove next year or in October.
From the boat.
Right. So in that case, we'll have to add. So as we work, so Paul will have to follow us up to the point. He'll have to get his boat set up. And so what we'll do is we'll start in Hampton, work all the way back up. So once we get to that point, we can just take the boat over to that island, work the island there, take the boat back, and then work the extra like four that are go up into Maine. And then we'll have 10.
Yeah, we got to get 10. We had 7 last year, so we got to get 10 this year.
Yeah, it looks like people have activated the island. I'm actually just looking at the photo site. Wow, 5 times it's been activated. Holy crap, with 1,600. What? That's not right. Someone activated it as 1,600 QSOs? No, come on.
And one activation?
Three successful attempts, and he had 1,699 contacts.
Must be digital.
That, yeah, wow. No.
Or he can't. Oh, or
holy
he can't.
Crap. No, so okay. So here's the breakdown. So of his 3 activations, 1 activation, he had 7. The next time he went out there, he had 502. And then the next one after that, he had 31. And this is all phone. Oh, no. And then he had a bunch of CW, too. So he had, wow, he worked both. So his first activation in 16 was 251 CW contacts, 7 phone, 560 CW contacts, the next one, 500 phones. So he had 1,000 contacts already in one day between CW and phone.
Okay.
Holy crap.
But maybe he was sitting on a boat parked offshore within 100 feet and he was doing what Paul's going to be doing.
All day long.
Maybe he camped there for the weekend.
So, Paul, you got to vet that out. So get the boat in the freaking water, in the salt water, and tell us exactly how it performed based off your antenna. And then we'll just drive up to the island. We don't have to get out. We'll drive up to the island.
There we go. From
the
boat. All right.
Wow. And, yeah.
We do islands islands on the air, on the too. Air.
Well, we might have to do our 24-hour POTA there if we're going to beat his 1,699 contacts.
Yeah. Just stay on the boat. There you go.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, dude. That might, you know, throw me over an edge.
There's so many things like on the air. There's an island. We should have like Walmarts on the air. There's like a Walmart, like every.
There is a Walmart on the air.
There is?
Yeah. Walmart no parking lots on the air. Yep.
Seriously?
I'll post the link here. Let me grab it. Walmarts.
Oh my god, that's crazy! Because I'm like, there is a Walmart. Like everywhere you go, there's a Walmart, right? Like almost every town or within a couple towns, there's a Walmart. So
post it in the private chat. Here it is. This they have a website. Awesome. WMPLOTA, WMPLOTA.org.
Do they have a database, like, or is it just?
It looks like it's not a attempt like it is for regular POTA attempts, but they have one from the first week of July, so we just missed it.
you can only do it for the first week?
Looks like they only do it on from July 2nd to July 2nd. So yeah, we missed it. The day after July 1st.
I'm doing it next year.
Oh boy.
Absolutely. Come on, you know how many Walmarts are around here?
So here I gotta show that. I gotta show.
We'll each pick a different Walmart.
Right. So this is their cover art.
Hold
you guys
on.
See that yet?
Yeah.
that is you know what that's from? What movie?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. The horror movie. Yes. I can't think of it right now. I always forget.
Axe and the Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Yeah, it's Evil Dead.
It's
but
something.
Yes, I don't know.
Something in the Evil Dead. Series.
Yeah. Evil Dead movies. Anyway, so we're getting off on a tangent here. Yeah, it's all Evil Dead movies.
Love it. Man. Chainsaw.
Yeah, so anyway, that's it.
When you do Walmart on the air, is it WOTA? CQ WOTA?
WM PLOTA.
WM PLOTA.
What?
Walmart parking lots on the air.
WM PLOTA.
That's a mouthful. You think?
Walmart parking lots on the air.
They have a leaderboard. They have a leaderboard. Wow. Awesome. See, dude, it can do anything. You can do, you know, Exxon gas stations on the air if you want to do, you know, make up your own.
Nope. Boats on the air.
Oh, man. Well, BOTA is, I think, a thing, too, as well. Man, I'll think Google this one, too. BOTA.
School's on the air.
I don't think school. That. Why would anyone do that one?
I thought he said tools.
Yeah, both on the air.
I thought he was going to like turn a wrench into an antenna.
Home Depot on the air. Lowe's on the air.
Scaffolding antenna. Yeah,
the main rule. So here's the only rule. The main rule of BOTA is that the boat must be underway or anchored during the activation. Mooring or tying to a dock is not allowed.
Easy.
That's it. Boatsontheair.com. They have a website. Wow. Telling you, dude, you can do anything. Anyway, how do we sign? We get.
We got a little stuff. What were we talking about?
Wildlife management, trails.
Wildlife. Yeah.
How did we get to Walmart?
You mentioned Walmart. So talking about wildlife stuff. So any of you guys run into any really serious ones where you had to like hike through and just been like, you know, dude, like I could tell Casey's story. If you guys haven't heard Casey's story about his wildlife management area that's over in Amherst. Do you hear about that?
No.
One?
Is that the one that's behind the cemetery?
No. Yep, one that's up on the top of the hill. He went up there with his dog one time, or very early spring, and he's like, I will never go back to that place because my dog was covered in ticks. It was so bad. He's like, I hiked up the hill. I was like ready to do an activation. I could barely make contacts. And when my dog finally came out and I finally came out, we were covered in ticks. And I'm just like, and that was like landlocked. There's no way you can get access to, you know, that piece of property without hiking into it. And I haven't attempted that one yet. And that's...
If I remember right, it's Hodgman State Forest. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, that's on my list. But you have to hike in. There's no easy place to, you know, park and like walk 20, 50 feet. You have to hike in.
Yep. Now there is, I haven't had the conversation with the people yet, but there's landowners that own like a construction company right adjacent to that graveyard area. You could probably converse with them because if you look at the aerial maps, you could drive all the way in the back. And it looks like when the logging company went up there to do level cutting again, to clear out all the dead stuff, they went up there and created a road. So you could probably get up to at least the plateau of it. But
so we'll just take my Polaris Ranger.
Oh,
no, yeah, Polaris Ranger.
That would
I can drive it on the road. Drive up and just drive up to it.
Let's do it.
Polaris Rangers on the air. I'm going to set the antenna right in the back of the bed.
We'll just set a big giant, you know, 5/8 whip off the back of that, 10 meters. We'll do hamsticks galore off the back of that thing. We'll have like 15, you know, hamsticks off the back of it. We'll just do it with a little AB switch.
All right, yeah. So let's figure that one out in the fall. Maybe the ticks will be gone.
So, Todd, you're going to come out and do Russell Abbott with me, but in behind Russell Abbott is Abbott State Forest. And that one, the only way to get there is it's like a 2.5 mile hike. So that might be another ATV or Ranger, you know, type scenario.
Yeah, I would say for sure. Definitely if you want to haul enough gear.
As long as there's
a logging road, it's just not great.
That the thing. Oh. Yeah, and as long as I can get the Ranger through it, yeah. That thing's pretty good. I mean, it goes, if I put it in four-wheel drive, it goes through anything. Wow. So,
problem solved. We got boats to solve our island issue on our 10 Park Grove, and we got ATVs to get us into the deep woods of Abbott Russell. So I think we're in good shape. We just have to time it because
we don't want to walk 2 miles.
You heard it here, folks. We're working smarter, not harder. We refuse to like do the old fashioned hike our crap in.
Right. You know? The Alaska guys drive 5 miles, they snowmobile another 20 miles, hike in to do a park, and we're like, yeah, we're not walking 2 miles.
We're
ATV in it.
You seen their videos? They set up shelters. They eat steak. They, you know, come on, please.
Come winter. Winter's a totally different animal. Like, I'm all about packing the ice shelter and going out and setting up camp. But I recently redid my POTA bag to make it a soda bag, and. So yeah, so I minimized the radio gear as much as possible. The bag originally with just the POTA stuff was 30 pounds. Now with hiking gear and the radio, it's 30.2 pounds. So I'm good to go. Like, let's go hike.
What radio did you go with?
Yeah, 891. That's what I got.
Oh, dude, I would have thought you would have dropped that a little bit. Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. 100
now, I mean, I have said, right, should the FX4CR come down drastically in price, I will happily make that my Summit radio. But yeah, no, $891. That's what I got. So that's what I'm hiking with.
Well, we'll do this. We'll start our first soda attempt, and you'll hike the 891 up with you, and then I'll, like, halfway through the hike, swap it out with my FX4CR, and then have you hike the rest of the mountain power and see which one you like better. that'll just say whether or not you're going to spend that extra $300 or whatever you're complaining about because your back is, you know, what the hell's wrong with you, idiot? Yeah, I need to... it was funny because I was having a conversation with the wife about hiking again and stuff like that. So yeah, I've got to start thinking about the incorporating my ham gear in my, you know, hiking pack that I don't have any ham gear in. And my hiking pack, I think, is like maybe 15 pounds total. Not even, I mean, it's probably way less than that. I'm sure I'm over inflating it, but I'm sure once I throw the 891 in there, it'll be the same right around where you're at.
It's not even it's the battery that weighs so much.
Yeah.
It's not even I mean, the radio's not that heavy. My battery's the heaviest thing in the
room. Yeah, the battery and the radio probably weigh about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you could probably get away with a 6
amp hour battery. You know what? You guys can practice on Pac-Manadnock. I'll drive up. I'll set up. I'll get going, and I'll meet you guys.
He's like, I'll make my first 10 contacts while you're still hiking.
Yeah.
And then I'll slow down a little bit. And then I'll have conversations while I'm waiting for you to get to the peak.
Yeah. A couple of years ago when Zach was little, we hiked up there with Diane's brother and his family, and he was like, follow the blue light. He was running ahead, doing all like back and forth. All right, I found it where it goes now. It goes here. You know, we get up to the top or whatever. And he's like, I can't walk down. I'm like, what? He goes, I'm not doing it. Now, he was little, right? So I had to put him on my shoulders. And I was like, I ain't walking down through the woods. So I took the road all the way down
way around
with him on my shoulders. You want to talk about Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was in summer, so you know, it was hot. I was like, oh geez, this is brutal. Yep. I said, from now on, if we hike up, we hike down. Mm-hmm. None of this dad's carrying you anymore.
It only takes once, right? Only takes once. All right, so yeah. Let's steer the ship, you know, the lost at sea, back to wildlife stuff. So, you know, obviously, any recommendations we can kind of give people, folks, in dealing with wildlife, you know, and in those parks that, you know, are trail systems that, you know, aren't easily identifiable. You know, what do you guys are used to, you know, identify where you really need to kind of be? Or is it mostly been trial and error? Have you used like any mail map systems or anything like that?
So I use coordinates, especially if it's not a park and there's not an entrance, because I figured someone's been there before. They put those coordinates in, so there must be a way to get there. So put the coordinates in. I use Waze. Waze gets me to where I need to be, and then, you know, typically you'll see a trail or something, and you, okay, you can get in there. The other thing you can do is if people, the last couple people that activated, you can always go on, look up their call sign, email them and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this park. You have any suggestions? That would be another option to do. Or just go for it and get in the general area and drive around until you see somewhere you can like jump into it. But like I said, I think it's around here. I think it's a little bit more difficult because we just have these land masses that aren't really labeled or anything. I think my experience when I was down south is the wildlife refugee, they're labeled. Some of them have parking lots. It's more like a park that we would see up here versus, so I'm sure it's different around, but at least in New England, I mean, we have the state forest, and like you look on the map and it's like in the middle of nowhere and you've driven through it or by it and you didn't even know because it's just a chunk of land that they've designated. This is a state forest. You're not building here. It's staying green, whatever.
Yeah. I was I'll look at the POTA reference, but I don't go by their numbers or their coordinates. I'll say, okay, this is the reference.
Okay.
This is the park. And then I'll look up the park. I'll Google the park. A lot of them, like even if they're town maintained, but it's a state park or a state forest, but it's town maintained, there'll be a website, and the website will have some kind of key information on how you can access it. Because, you know, to me, like, it doesn't matter the POTA reference coordinate. What matters is that you're within the bounds of that park, right? Or that forest or whatever the entity is, right? And so, like with Hodgman, right? The way that I knew the easiest route in and out of there is through the cemetery was its website. And when you go to the park's website, it tells you, it's like, oh yeah, well, if you want to visit the state forest, the easiest access is through the cemetery, and you can park all the way at the backside of the cemetery and then walk your ass in. But yeah, no, I always reference the GPS maps, the satellite maps, because I want to know where the boundaries are. And then I look and I try and find a good place that's going to have a decent amount of elevation and some trees for me to use and, you know, kind of plan it out that way rather than going by what the POTA coordinates are.
Okay. So for me, I kind of have a mix of that. So the POTA coordinates, I agree. I mean, I use them kind of as an initial, like, get me in the general area, because 9 times out of 10, those POTA coordinates are not derived from somebody putting them there. They're actually derived from the database that they pulled from the national parks and anything else they use to build the POTA database. So, and the POTA guys, all the admins have all said that those coordinates are whatever they pulled from either other databases or other areas. And may or may not be close enough or within the vicinity, but we'll get you roughly in the ballpark. So I've kind of always used those at least to get me near the area. I've used Google Maps with their topographical map where they kind of lay out their forests and the boundaries based off of that. I'll use that coupled with Waze to be able to kind of coordinate roughly what access roads I have. And I'm saying this, but I like a lot of times I'll shortcut a lot of stuff because when I'm doing a lot of these wildlife places, I'm short on time and I want to try a new entity versus per se being like dead on in the place. And so I'll kind of give that fudge factor of the 100 feet a little bit more grace. Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, I'll be like, yeah, that's 100 feet or so. And, you know, or that's in the general area. And, you know, if somebody calls me out on it, I'm going to be the first to be like, hey, dude, I try my best to coordinate it. This is, again, you know, a fun activity. It's not like life or death. So if you want me to pull my, you know, 10 contacts or 12 contacts off my account, fine. But in essence, I don't really like, I'm going to be like, if I'm close in the ballpark, it's like horseshoes and hand grenades. You know, it's that whole adage of like, you're going to get somewhere in the vicinity
at home. And so and you're like, oh, I'm in the park.
Right, exactly, right. Like where Mike N2MAK lives, like literally his backyard is abutting one of the main river trails. And so, you know, he could technically operate from his back porch, but he knows he can't type things. So, you know, so he kind of plays in that same thing. Or he goes to his kids' soccer events and like, you know, and as a dad, I'd feel bad about that, but then I get over it, you know, activating a POTA while my kids are playing soccer. I'm like, oh, for that. Yeah, sorry, Mike, for outing you. But, yeah, I would, dude, I'd be like, I'm going to invest in HF Mobile. That's the first thing going in my car. I don't care whatever anything else before that, HF Mobile, if I have to go through that process. So, you know.
I could try coaching dugout.
I don't, dude. See, if you could figure the antenna. that would be pretty sweet if you could figure out how to balance that one. Or
I could do it. Have the headset on, remote into it.
He's out.
CQ dugouts on the air.
I know, right? Whole new you know, area to activate. Yeah, so that's kind of, I think, with the wildlife stuff. I mean, like, as we all kind of come to the conclusion, it's like, as long as you're in the ballpark, you're good. I mean, like, you don't have to sweat the idea that, you know, you have to be dead on. And again, I know there are folks out there that like play by 100%, like it has to be that way. Well, do your best you possibly can, and don't worry about sweating the rest, because you're not going to get anything close, because there's no real true 100% accurate data out there that I've run into that I can say for de facto standard for every park that's out there that the coordinates, either that the POTA page has or the government has or whatever, is all going to be accurate enough, because a lot of that stuff is either dated so far back that they don't have any records based off of, you know, who passed down, you know, what ownership of what wildlife area and roughly what section. I've seen like places in Mass, like over by Purgatory Chasm in that area, that there's like 5 different wildlife managers and they're all sliced differently. And every time I go, I know I can't activate one or the other, because they don't, like, they should cross based off of what the state maps say, but they don't when you actually physically look at any of the other maps. And so you just kind of go, okay, well, I'm just going to be in this one to play it safe, instead of, you know, saying I'm activating a 4-4, you know, when, you know, it's possibly it could be one. So, you know, I know those illustrious 3-4s, 4-4s, 5-4s are always, you know, fun to be able to find and activate, but, you know, they are tough to be able to, you know, find and locate too as well.
I hear you.
So, all right. Well, you know, with that, I mean, I don't think we really kind of came to any good conclusions outside of the fact that just use your best judgment when you come to the land, you know, trail systems and wildlife management. And most of all, I think, you know, having fun is more important than really whether or not you're dead balls on.
Yeah, accurate, as long as right? You're close. 100 feet's 100 feet. I did. I shared a link in the private chat here, and I'll put it in our show notes too. But on X Maps, it's excellent for like hunters and you know, outdoor people. But it's got perfect boundaries for all these entities. And so if you're looking for something that'll help you find these boundaries, that'll help.
Yeah. That's a very good trail system map. A lot of off-roaders and, you know, true extreme, you know, rock crawlers and those guys love those trail systems and stuff. And Jeepers use those a lot. So Onyx Maps is a paid service in some cases and well worth the investment, especially with the offline capability. And I used it for a little while when I was using it, but then, you know, I just, you know, started activating state parks and that type of stuff. And at that point, not needed. I know where I'm at. But a good system in general. So cool. All right. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Doug.
No, I'm just looking at it now. It says, you know, the premium, you get off-road trails, public lands in the U.S., unlimited on offline maps, $34.99 a year. Yep. The elite, $100 a year, you get pro deals, private land ownership in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
And then you get the off-road trails. And yeah.
Yeah, well, that's that stuff is good because, like, you know, a lot of times if you want to hunt an area or you want to ATV in an area and it's privately owned, it gives you the landowner's information so you can contact them to get permission. Not super applicable with Parker designations, but yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Sure, but close. Yep. Cool. All right. Well, let's kind of put a bow on this for tonight and, you know, say that, you know, wildlife management, you know, and trail systems, they're kind of subject to your discretion. For all intents and purposes, try your best to be able to put the effort to kind of coordinate it, but know that you might be off a little bit, but, you know, for most of the guys who do POTA and Activate aren't going to ding you. We're not going to be like, unless you're all of a sudden like making 1600 contacts in one shot, then, you know, we got some other bigger issues to worry about. But, you know, hey, go out there, have fun, activate. You know, if you make 10 contacts, we're all for you. We'll cheer with you. But, you know, if you don't, you know, sometimes those wildlife management areas are a little tough for sure. I know I've been in my few that I tried to scrape 10 together and, you know, well, I got that through my skin of my teeth. So, all right. Well, with that, again, let's kind of dive in. So thanks again for joining Live Free and Ham Podcast. As always, if you haven't been and you haven't subscribed to our channel, please head over to our YouTube channel at livefreeandham.com. And as always, if you have, you know, we know what you've been doing. So, you know, you must be watching us. The other thing is, and I forgot to add, is that we are trying to get our Facebook change their strategy again. I won't use an explicit of here, but in essence, we now have to work a little harder over on our Facebook channel to live stream to our folks that are over on Facebook who had the, you know, the benefit of when and before they made those changes. Now we actually have to have a minimum of 100 likes and people following our channel, or not our channel, our page over at YouTube. So please, if you are a Facebook user or a faceless user, whatever you want to call them, you know, head over there, like our, you know, our page over there so we can get back up there and we can start live streaming again to, you know, there so folks can get our content and continue to be part of the Live Free and Ham community. And as always, we have several ways you can connect with us. You can, again, connect with us with our swag. You can get that at livefreeandham.com/shop. And again, if you are a Patreon you know, member, you can get discounts there. Just check the Patreon pages for that information. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can always leave us a review on iTunes. And if you're not an Apple Podcast listener, please, you know, click the link down in our show notes for our SMS reviews. Leave us a good or bad review, and we will make sure we read either, and we'll ridicule the bad one. But, you know, that's a subject to the future. But as always, we want to hear how we're doing. Please let us know. You know, tell us whether or not you like our show or we're a bunch of old guys, you know, that just need to retire or something. I don't know. All right. So, and lastly, you can always share and like and support us through our Patreon and buy us a beer links. Those are always located in our show notes and on our website. And you can reach any of our hosts at livefreeandham.com. And thanks again for listening from all of us here again and Live Free and Ham 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.